So before I start, I'm going to ask God to touch each and every one of us that I may speak with clarity, but also it'll open your ears and the eyes of your understanding that you might receive the word of God with gladness and with joy and with obedience to the change that's necessary for God to be God in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day thus far. And we thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that rests upon these people. For the anointing of the preacher is not all there is to this, but there has to be an anointing on your people. And right now, by the power and authority of your word, I release that anointing upon each and every individual in this house. That I don't just speak words, but those words become an example in every life and every individual that is present here today. That we will acknowledge you in saying amen. And the reason is because we want the devil to hear it. We want the enemy to know that even though God can read our minds, we're not going to keep it locked up in our lips, but we're going to release it so the devil knows that we are in agreement. Amen. Thus let it be so with what is going to be preached. Hallelujah. So I pray this day that your work would be complete and that we would somehow get out of the way and allow you to show up so that you feel comfortable in your own house. We praise you today. In your precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. Wow. It's good to be here today. I've missed church. Now, I've been in other churches, and I've done in North Carolina a church growth seminar, but there is nothing like being with my home folk. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about distracted by good. Distracted by good. Hey, someone put the in there. The don't belong in there. Distracted by good. I don't know who put the in there, but I'm sure they're going to fix it. See that? See how fast that happened? Look at how fast. Man, I get what I want, don't I? Look at that. We're going to talk about carpet now. Financial growth. By the way, if you don't know it, that just brought this to my attention. Next week, we're going to try to raise the money right here. One service for raising carpet so that we can get this replaced before November. We are looking at approximately $25,000. Some of you are like, well, we've already got five of that. And I feel that I needed to invest in it. So I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, but I'm willing to give $3,000 toward this in order for us to get this done, because I really would like to see us get new carpet in this church. How many of you would agree with me that this is a holy place? Amen. Distracted by good. Did we get that? I got all day. Distracted by good. Oh, let me get started. In the biblical book named after her, Esther, as a young Jewish woman living in the Persian diaspora, who finds favor with King Ahasuerus, she becomes queen, and she risks her life to save the Jewish people who were saved from the destruction when the court of official Haman persuaded the king to authorize a program against all the Jews of the empire. Esther, with her people, was a slave. I want you to understand, she was a slave. And she was chosen by the king to become the queen of his empire. He did this because of her beauty, her elegance, as well as her purity and her transparency. Esther was good at serving the palace, but never sat with the king. Think about it. She was good at taking care of her responsibilities, but never sat with the king. Yet sometimes what is good can get in the way of what is better. When we fail to properly prioritize our activities, allowing ourselves to be distracted by what is good, we miss out on what is better. There's another story that really unpacks this idea. It's found in Luke 10, 38, and it says this: "Now it came to pass as they went," that Jesus went, "that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she said, and she had a sister, rather, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she may help me.'" Here you have two sisters. One is Martha, and the other is Mary. Martha was cumbered about with many things which were good. But she failed to recognize the better. It was Martha that invited Jesus to her house. That it was her house leads most of us and most people to think that she was the eldest head of the household. So she felt responsible for making sure that the house was tidy. Her hospitality is certainly commendable and notable, but she didn't realize that while it is reasonable to take care of the house, maybe, just maybe, there's something more to that here than just taking care of the chores. She became distracted. She became distracted by the good and did not see the better. Here, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, the Messiah, had come to her house. What an honor. What an honor. And there were likely others there besides Jesus and Mary and Martha. Maybe there were the disciples, which we know they were there, but maybe there were family members and neighbors that were there. So everybody was there, and that's why probably Martha felt responsible to making sure that everybody was taken care of. But can I propose to you today, quit worrying about what everybody else needs right now. Because if we're not careful, we'll just do the service and we'll never get to the better. She naturally wanted her sister to help in doing something that was good, but didn't realize that Mary was interested in what was better. In fact, she began to worry. Martha did, and she worried, and she was troubled by many things. These were not things that were wrong in themselves, but they took priority when they should have been put to the side for the moment for her to reach to something greater than just taking care of what was good. Martha allowed that which was good to get in the way. I'm going to go on in just a moment, but I want you to understand that there's a whole lot going on in this service right now. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. There is an anointing at this house. There is a God that has frequented our presence and has come into the midst of this congregation. And if we're not careful, we'll get stuck on the songs. We'll get stuck on the preliminaries. We'll get stuck on what everybody else has done until some of you have quit on the next portion of the service because the song service is over, so there's nothing left to do. And if we're not careful, we'll say, okay, why didn't so-and-so worship? And why isn't so-and-so doing it the way I'm doing it? And why is it that people are not responding? You need to get off of your high horse and realize that God is here to meet your need. And Martha, you got to stop doing what you're doing to find out what God wants. We got to stop having church as usual. We got to quit this idea of just coming and entertaining one another. We got to get to the place where we realize that the God of glory is among us and the anointing is in this house, and there's nobody can fix you but God himself, and there's nobody can save you but Jesus Christ. And if we ever come to the conclusion that Jesus is the answer in this service, we'll not land on what is good, but we'll always look for what is better. I want to find what is better in every song. I want to find what is better in everyone that praises God. I want to find what's better. I want to find what's better in the Word. I want to find God in this house. I cannot settle. I said I cannot settle for good when I know better is present. Martha is a spirit that has entered into a lot of our churches till we are more of entertaining people and appealing and appeasing people than we are God. We try to make each other happy. You try to make your pastor happy. Oh, if I can just get the pastor happy. That's not the problem, honey. You need to start making God happy. Amen. Because if we don't come into this place and we are looking for his approval, we have completely missed the reason for coming to the house of God. Oh, I don't think some of you are hearing me. So I got to get down here where you can hear what your pastor's talking about. Amen. I believe that there's got to be a point where you say, I am here for no other reason other than to get in touch with God. Amen. If you got a real problem, you ought to be on your feet. If you've got some real issues in your life, you ought to shout like nobody's ever shouted. Amen. If you're the ones that are in this place and need a touch from God, there needs to be somebody that's saying, I need to get a hold of him. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. My God, we need you in this place. We need you in this place. There are people hurting. Sister Borda needs healing. We need you in this place. We cannot play church any longer. We need a move of God's Spirit and healing upon the body of Christ. That's why Jesus said in Luke 10:41, he answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, if you cup your hand around your ear, you might just hear your name. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You are troubled with the good stuff and miss the blessing of the better. Mary, though, no, she's a complete different mentality, and she was disciplined in her mind. She knew what she wanted, and she came with intention when she came before the Lord. Oh, these are the kind of people that enter into the holiest of holies, not just stand out the door in the holy place, but say, I got to get behind the curtain. And Mary was disciplined. She sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. Sometimes we have to stop doing and start listening. Too busy. That's the world we're living in. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus anymore. Oh, I got to talk about it. Sometimes we have to just stop doing what we're doing and start listening, because we become so preoccupied doing our daily routine, paying the bills, managing our marriages, raising our kids, buying groceries, fixing cars, going fishing, dealing with all the crazy stuff that's going on in our world, watching as we see our nation falling into debauchery, hate that's going around. Can I propose to you that there is no hate in this church? Because if you have hate in your heart, you'll be asked to leave. I got to talk about it in a while. Amen. You are not welcome here if you've got a resentful spirit and you hate people. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what kind of lifestyle you've lived. I don't care what color you are. If you hate, you don't belong in the kingdom, because God came to each and every individual that was open to receive the Spirit of God. Hate, distracted by lust, distracted by gender identity crisis, distracted by ethnicity hate and crimes. We're distracted by what's going on in the news about us removing ourselves from Afghanistan. We're distracted by the Delta variant. Vaccine or no vaccine, we're distracted by it. Losing jobs if you don't comply. This is across the aisle issue. This is not a Democrat and this is not a Republican issue. When we start losing our privilege as a nation, everybody needs to rise up and say something about it and live to a place where we are willing to defend the truth. I know this might be strong for some of you, but we're losing our privileges. We're losing our freedoms. And my God, have mercy. I for one, want to make sure that when I walk in here, I can still raise my hands and I can still shout with glory and I can still serve a God that has liberated me by the power of His Spirit. Vaccine or no vaccine, losing jobs if you don't comply. Our freedom is possible that it's only going to be the thing of the past. Liberties are only going to be history. So people are worrying. Everybody's worried. I have not met one person yet that I've talked to that is not worried about the future of our nation and our world. But Jesus shows us in Luke 21:26, he says, men's hearts filling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. How many of you would agree with me that there's some things coming that we need to be concerned about? He says, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Stop doing and start listening. Am I talking to anybody? That's why it says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they don't want to listen. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears is a term used in the Bible to describe individuals who seek out messages and doctrines that condone their lifestyles. They don't want churches that are going to preach like your pastor will preach to you. And the reason is because it requires change. We preach conviction. But see, listening requires doing, not just comprehending. Martha was cumbered about many things, but Mary was sitting at his feet. And this was an ancient posture for disciples to learn at the feet of Jesus. I guess the real question today is, why are you here? Why am I here? Why do we keep having church when we had the pandemic and COVID-19? I had people on one side saying we shouldn't be having church. Yeah, but you weren't here when I was getting the phone calls of people that were suicidal either. And then on the other side, someone said, man, we just ought to open it right up. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to quit listening to that side. I'm going to quit listening to that side. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. And if God says we can open, we'll open. But somebody has to trust the word of God. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me talk to you about this. Because some people only get word when they come to church. You're not asked to sit at my feet. He wants you to sit at his feet. Where is that? It's when you get out your own Bible. Know what you believe for yourself. And quit relying on somebody else to define your experience when it only comes from Christ himself. Sit down, open your Bible, read it, and pray and say, God, I need some answers. And I promise you, if your heart is open and you're not just willing to comprehend, but you're willing to listen, God will speak to you. I said, God will speak to you. Amen. Why are we here? I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I need something you can't give me. That's why I'm here. I need a divine touch. And I, as I have said in the past, I appreciate it now that when you come up and you say, Pastor, I love you, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that when I'm sick, you pray for me. I appreciate that. And all of you that have given me the accolades and say, man, Pastor, we're behind you. We support you. But I'm going to tell you something. As much as I love all of that, not one time have you ever been able to fix any of my problems. I got to talk about it because some of you think getting married is going to fix it. You women are looking for a man and he's not even in the church. He's halfway between the altar and all the way to the back of who knows where. And you say, well, I can win him. No, if he's not coming to the altar on his own, then you can't win him. Because the Bible tells us that if a man is drawn, it's drawn by the Spirit of God. I'm going to talk about this. I'm a loaded gun, Brother Corey. I am a loaded gun. Amen. I don't like it when a bunch of boys show up wanting our apostolic girls just because they know. I want men to show up and be men and say, I'm not here for the girl. I'm here because I want to serve God. And I know that there's something more than just keeping life tidy. But I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's true revelation. Men, you get what I'm preaching. It's time for us men to rise up and be counted as men of God that are standing on this truth. And we need to be leaders in our homes, leaders to our children. Don't just talk about it. Show up and act like you're saved. Amen. I appreciate all these young men that are here today, but I want to make sure that you all are on the right track, that it's not a pretty face that's going to get you saved, and it's not a pretty girl that's going to keep you saved. I'll tell you what's going to get you saved is when you start living for God, loving your Lord, and falling in love with Him more than you fall in love with anybody else, because you don't have a relationship outside of God. You don't have a marriage outside of God. So, all right, Malik? Got my boy right there. Well, then, come on up here and give me a high five. If you believe it. Come on. All right. You think getting kids after getting married is going to fix your broken marriage? You think that you're going to start giving when you get a better job? Does that work, Brother Wilson? No. You're going to think you're going to be more faithful to the house of God when you get through with that project you have at your house. Well, you still have the motor sitting in the front of the yard, and it's not even in the car yet. It's been there 4 years, and you say, well, I'm going to be faithful when I get my project done. I saw this little, I can't remember if it was a cartoon or what it was. And this guy says, all right, honey, you don't have to keep reminding me that I got to do this every 6 months. You don't have to remind me I got to do this every 6 months. We're faced with some things that are coming down and through the church from our world. Mary wanted to learn from Jesus. Please don't misquote me, because I do believe that God places people in your life to disciple you. But I'm going to tell you, when God uses them, it's the voice of God. Because we cannot save you with our own ideology and our own agenda. Yeah, I got up here so late, Corey. I'll make him sit on the platform next time while I preach. I love that boy. Listen to me very carefully. I want everybody's attention right here. Because what I'm about to say needs to be understood, that this is exactly where we are right now in our world. There's some very disturbing things that are happening right now. And this is truly a little glimpse of the very possible reality that we as a church will no longer be able to worship the way we do because of what's happening right now.
we are losing our freedoms. We have already been declared as non-essential. And so now it's come to a place where churches are going to be under attack to conform to something that is not Bible. Did I ever think I was going to see that? I didn't. But what blows me away, brother, is that we've seen this in the last year and a half. And we're getting to a place where we're going to be saying, give us peace. Give us peace. Please give us peace. He said, be careful. Because that's when sudden destruction is going to occur. Because one's going to step on the scene and bring peace to a one world ideology and government. You think I'm joking? You think I'm just standing here up here blowing steam? I'm telling you, I've studied this. I've turned it inside out. I've realized where we're at, and I follow all of the dots, and they are connecting right now. And we can't have people that are living with a Martha perspective if we're going to overcome the things that are coming against God's people. Now, if you've ever heard a preacher, or if you've ever heard your pastor, hear me now. We're going to go to Revelations, and I'm going to break this down real quick. Revelations 12:1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman, this woman is referred to as Mary, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Mary is the one that was going to give birth to Jesus. And there was a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 stars is indicating like the 12 disciples. And 12, chronologically, the number, numerology, I should say, the number of 12. Study it for yourself. Then it says in the second verse, and she being with child. What was the child's name? Jesus. Travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now notice here that this is Mary in pain to bring forth Jesus. But this is also a metaphor of the church in pain to bring forth the born again message. We're living in a day just as Herod tried to kill all of the babies because he had heard that there was one coming that was going to be king of the Jews. And he was not going to compete with another king. Especially in his lineage. And so here we are. That woman was in pain to be delivered. And Herod was trying to devour and destroy that child. And just as the bride of Christ is preaching this great, beautiful message, guess who's standing over us? The enemy, for us to quit preaching this truth, to devour it. Then it says in the third verse, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 horns and heads, and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Who's that? Satan drew a third part of the angels with him, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So Satan was cast out of heaven, standing before Mary to devour Jesus. But let me just tell you, just as it was then, he's standing over the bride of Christ to devour the church and the offspring of the bride of Christ. That's why we need to fall in love with this beautiful Jesus name message. And that we need to fall in love with the plan of salvation, which is repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because if we ever lose that, we don't have any reason to exist, because the dragon has devoured the truth among us. Are y'all still with me? Then he says in the fifth verse, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations, who was Jesus, with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That was the resurrection. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
And it says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven, because they were cast out. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. I have never in my life seen such a rejection of truth. I'm not talking about Bible truth, just honesty and truth. Where people are more willing to live a lie than to accept the truth. Deceiver the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Then it says this in the 10th verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. What a day of opportunity that we're living in right now. Get ready for what I'm preaching right now is going to fill our churches up. Because people are tired of mealy mouse churches without backbone that are afraid to preach the truth because they're afraid that they'll be not politically correct and maybe be put in jail or whatever. But we still need the word of God. And there's going to be churches that are going to preach, now is come salvation and now is come strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night.
But look at the 11th verse. And they overcame him by what? Not by my strength, not by might, not by my power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, by the word, by the word. Mary understood, sitting at the feet of Jesus, was the words coming from the mouth of God.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their, what? Testimony. By the word that was in them and through them. I got to talk about it for a minute. Amen. That's why we came to the house of God today. We didn't just come so we could feel good. No. The word is in us. So when I praise, it's word. When I talk to God, it's revelation. When I am here, I want you to know I got a testimony. Look what the Lord has done. I used to be bound and in prison, but God delivered me. I used to live in anxiety and depression, but look what the Lord has done. I used to be on drugs. I had a broken marriage, but look what the Lord has. The devil can't fight against your testimony. I wonder if someone would stand to their feet and declare that I've got a testimony in this house right now. That's why I'm here. It's because of what Jesus has done through his word in me that I can testify. I am an overcomer. I am victorious. I shall, by the blood of the Lamb, overcome. The devil's a liar. I said the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He wants you to think you have been beaten, but you have not. You're an overcomer.
Oh, I wish I could get a witness in this house. Somebody that's got a testimony. Somebody that'll declare it with a voice of triumph. Hey! Hey! Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, the Holy Ghost is in this house. The Spirit of the Lord is in here. I just wonder if someone's willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. Hey! Hey! Oh, come on, come on, come on. If you want to come to this altar, please do it as quickly as you can. Get up here close. We're getting ready to have some church around here. Oh, we're overcomers. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by His Word that is in us, that gives us our testimony. Oh, and they love not their lives even unto death. I'll serve you, Lord, no matter what the consequences are. I love you and I'll live for you, Lord, no matter what happens in our world. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. One last scripture. Listen to me right here, right here. Here it is. So we're talking about Mary. In Luke 10:42. This is talking about you right here, right here, right here. And he says, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. They both were doing good, but Mary chose the better. In the end, there is one thing that really is necessary, and that would be seeking God's kingdom of righteousness, no matter what. Why? She chose that which had eternal consequences. She said, I know my washing the dishes is not going to save me, and my sister may want to do that, and cleaning the house is not going to save me, but I know that why I'm here today, sitting in this service right now, lifting up my hands, shouting the glory of the Lord on my lips, I know why I'm here. Somebody may be home right now fixing their car or washing their clothes or cleaning their, but I know why I'm here. I'm here because I am not going to settle for anything that's just good. I want something that is better. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I don't know. I'm just going to keep pounding this nail until I get it all the way through the wood, I guess. Hey, man, we got to get somewhere today. Hey, 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 hey. I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. Oh, the Lord is blessing. Oh, come on, somebody sing. Hey.
Mountains are still being moved.
Mountains are being moved.
The strongholds are still
strongholds.
Hey. God, we believe, hey, that yes, we can see that wonders are still what
come on.
You do.
You know why you're here. Go ahead.
Your bodies are still being raised.
Oh, oh.
My giants are still being slain.
Ah.
God, we believe, yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here.
need a move.
We need a move.
We need a move.
Yes, we do.
We need a move.
We need a move.
Come on, let it go. We need a move right now.
We need a move.
How you need deliverance?
We need a move.
He's here right now.
sister to pray with. Come on, let's get together and have a move of God today. This is a move. This is where lives are put back together. This is where we are healed. This is where we find salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Miracles happen when he moves, healing is coming.